All right, if you would, please be seated and get out your Bibles and open up to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Just let me get something rolling here. There we go. Eli, can you make sure that that's on the... Okay, thank you. All right, I want to welcome everybody this morning to Grace Life Bible Church. We appreciate you being here. We specifically want to also welcome those in our live stream audience or anybody who watches after the fact or supports Grace Life Bible Church. We appreciate all of your support and prayers from those not only here in-house but also in remoter parts that we maybe haven't even met. The church continues, as you'll see shortly, to receive support both financially as well as through prayers from people not only around this country but all around the world as the message of grace goes out from this small little church here in West Michigan. And so for those of you that are new this morning or are just tuning in or have never watched, one time a year we like to set aside a service where we talk about the affairs of the church, okay? And this ends up being somewhat of a hybrid of me going over some stuff from the scriptures, talking about some things from the Word of God, reminding everybody about the church and how the church came into existence, and our little bit about our history, and then we talk about different things related to the affairs of the church. And we do this and we live stream it because we know that we have a lot of people that follow the ministry, that support the ministry, and we want to be fully transparent and above board with everybody about what is going on here at Grace Life Bible Church, both with the preaching of the word as well as with finances, because there are people that support us financially, etc. And so that's what this particular meeting is about. The other reason why we do it now is because, as again I will address in a minute, we are spread out all over across West Michigan. So to expect everybody to come back now for a special meeting, we just realized early on that that wasn't going to be very feasible and that meeting probably wouldn't be very well attended. And so we elected years ago to address it in this particular format. So what I want to go through with you is the State of the Assembly Address. There's going to be various different parts of this. The first thing I want to do, though, is I want to remind everybody about why Grace Life Bible Church, where Grace Life Bible Church came from, and how we came into existence. We just finished our 18th year as a church. We are entering into year 19, which blows my mind sometimes to think about that. But in October 2007, there was a group of us that had been attending a church in Muskegon, and it became apparent through a variety of circumstances that that was not going to be feasible anymore. So I resigned, and in resigning, there were folks that were asking, what are you going to do next? Are you done with ministry? Are you going to do something different? And so myself and Wayne Nash and a couple other brothers, Ernie was involved in that early on, we met and we decided that we were going to start a new church. And we met for the first time ever down the road here at Wayne's shop, Apex Spring and Stamping, the last Sunday of October 2007. And so it's been a while. Then we opened this building the Sunday before Thanksgiving, November 2008. And we have been here ever since. And so when we left the church, when I left the other church and we moved to start a new church, the question came up of where are we going to put the church and what's this going to look like, et cetera, et cetera. And I wasn't interested in starting another church that would just be like every other church. I wanted to start a Pauline Bible Church, okay? I wanted to start a church that was going to, number one, stand for the gospel, the grace of God, the fact that salvation is only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not your work, it's not your effort, it's not your performance, it's not how often you go to church. It's that Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood there. In doing so, he satisfied the offended justice of God against sin, and 3 days and three nights later, he arose the victor over sin and death. The church that we were going to found would have to proclaim that message clearly and unashamedly. Second was the issue of the Word of God rightly divided and dispensational Bible study and the acknowledgement that Paul is our apostle today during the dispensation of grace. And so we endeavored to start Grace Life Bible Church based on those principles. But it was more than just the doctrine. It was also the idea of doing ministry the way Paul did ministry. Look at Romans chapter 15. Some interesting things here, and I do touch on this generally every time we come to this date. For the sake of time, look at verse 16. Paul writes here to the Romans, and by the way, has he ever been to Rome as of the writing of this book? He has not. He's never been to Rome, so he's never seen their face in the flesh, and he's writing them this epistle, and he says in verse 16 that I should be minister of Jesus Christ to who? The Gentiles. You got to understand that Paul had a unique Gentile ministry. In Romans chapter 11, he calls himself the apostle of who? The Gentiles, right? And so Paul is different from the 12. He's different from the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is endeavoring to labor and minister to the Gentiles under a heavenly calling that he received from a glorified, ascended Christ, okay? Verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So he's clearly having a Gentile ministry. Look at verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, some of you need to bone up on your geography a little bit, but you know where Jerusalem is mentally. All the way around to Illyricum is over there in Macedonia. And he says, this entire region here, you can hear my voice already starting to. This entire region, all the way over here to Illyricum, he says, I fully preached the gospel. Now, you need to understand, that is an absolutely astounding feat. When Paul left Antioch in Acts 13, did any of these Gentile churches exist? So by the time he writes Romans, sometime, I believe, in Acts 20, he looks at the map of the ancient known world, and he says, from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully preached what? The gospel, okay? Verse 20, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. So did Paul intentionally choose to go into places where they did not know the name of Christ in the Gentile world? He says in verse 20, yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ is named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he has not, I'm going to skip that part, drop down to verse 23. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Paul looks at the map and he says, I've fully preached the gospel. He's like, I got nowhere else in these parts to do it. So now is he endeavoring to go to Rome? Okay? How did Paul do that? How did he accomplish that? How did he accomplish such an amazing feat that he could look at the map and he could say, I fully preached the gospel, there's nowhere left to go, I'm going to go to Spain. Look at verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. So does he endeavor to go all the way to Spain and stop by Rome on his way to Spain? Okay? How did he do that? Go back to Acts 13. He had a strategy, folks. He had a way that he was going about the ministry. And the first thing that Paul would do is he would target urban centers. Okay? Think about it. He writes to the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians. These are all major cities in the ancient Roman Empire where he goes there, he establishes churches, he edifies them, he evangelizes them, he gets them saved, he teaches them sound doctrine. And then he identifies men in these churches that he can enlist as elders, that he can then entrust the church to these elders so that he could then move on to the next city and he could do the same thing there, okay? And he does that over and over and over again throughout the book of Acts to the point where he writes Romans 15. He says, I got nowhere left to go. I want to go over to Spain, and on my way to Spain, I'm going to stop with you. And he does this by following a strategic plan. So if Paul, I've always joked about this, so it'd be bad if I didn't do it today. If Paul is looking at the map of Michigan and deciding where he's going to put a church, and he's looking at West Michigan, is he going to put a church in Marne? Nothing wrong with the Marnites, okay? I love them. They're fine people. But if you're going to put a church somewhere, you're going to put it in a city like Grand Rapids. And you're going to establish it in the city on purpose so that from the city can it reach out into the surrounding areas. And this is Paul's ministry model. Look at Acts 14. I don't have a lot of juice left, so I better get on with it. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood, this is, he's going to go out again here. Verse 20, Acts 14, 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came unto the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now look at verse 21. And when he had preached the gospel to that what? City, and had taught many, he returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when he had ordained them elders in every what? Church, and he had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. What is Paul's ministry model? What is his strategy? Number one, target an urban center. Number two, evangelize the people in that city. Number three, take those new believers and edify them in sound doctrine. Number four, enlist faithful men that he could turn over oversight of that local church to, so that number five, he could go to the next city and do the same thing over again. So Grace Life Bible Church has sought to adopt this thinking, this ministry strategy in what we do. So we have adopted, therefore, some ministry priorities that we feel are congruent with what Paul says and the way Paul did ministry. Number one is edification. Establish the saints of all ages in Pauline sound doctrine and the principles of the grace life. That's number one. Number two, be the body. The idea of one anothering. Get 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at a couple of these verses, not all of them. Get 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Get also Romans 12. Also get Romans 12. Verse 4. Paul says, for as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ and members one of another. So we've tried to stress the idea of being the body and one anothering. This is a Pauline principle in how we should treat each other as members of the church, the body of Christ. Thirdly, we've endeavored to try to train faithful men who would be able to train others also. I have water, but thanks. I probably should take one of these cough drops. Sorry, hang on. Hopefully that helps. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul has a strategy that he wants. How does the doctrine get passed on from one generation to the next? Okay, notice what he says, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. How does the doctrine get passed on? It gets passed on by identifying faithful men. Who are faithful men? Faithful men are people that can be entrusted with a doctrine, and they're going to take the doctrine, and they're going to teach it to the next generation without changing it, without altering it, without messing it up, as it were, okay? Number four, enlist. So identify men willing who are established in the faith to aid in the edification, encouragement, and establishment of other saints in the roles of elder and deacon. Number five, evangelism. Properly edified and mature saints will have a heart for evangelism and seeing the lost get saved, and it is by doing the work of an evangelist. So we have five ministry priorities that are consistent with the way Paul did ministry. So therefore, everything that we do as a church, as an assembly, needs to be tied into one of these five priorities. Now, this is not the first time I've shared this with you. I've shared this with you many times. Because of my voice, I'm just going to move on with it, okay? I wanted to elaborate more, but I'm not going to. So let's reflect on 2025, which was our 18th year as a church, okay? First, we saw a transition in the board, and we took on new members. Nate joined as an elder, and Will became the treasurer. If you recall, Daryl Dornbos resigned. We originally had given that over to Mark. Because of some complications with Mark's job, we had to back off of that, and we ended up making Will the treasurer, and he's been the treasurer since March, I would guess. Would that be fair? Yeah. There is one thing that we have to note here that's not necessarily positive, and that is that we did have to discontinue the teen class due to a lack of support, okay? I've always said from the beginning that we could only have the ministries that there was support for, and we just did not have enough support with people being willing to teach, and so we had to scale that back and remove that as something that the church is doing. There was one book published from This Generation Forever, Volume 3, on canonicity and transmission. That was published in the spring of the year. We did eclipse 5,000 subscriptions on YouTube, which is a milestone for the church as far as that goes. And so we grew the size of the streaming ministry. So as of today, this morning, it's that bold number there. We have 5,044 subscribers on YouTube, and we have 580 on Rumble, the two places where you could get the church's content on live, on streaming and other sorts of things. So that's all good. Also, last year in 2025, we started writing blog articles once a month or once a week. Those have gotten a lot of traction. Somebody sent me a picture of a website in India that had our article on it. So that's kind of cool. Last summer, we did a logic class in the adult Sunday school hour. We have established a safety team. You will be hearing more about this as time moves forward. The safety team is related to medical things as well as security, okay? Will have some things to say later about security from a financial standpoint of some things that we're going to be doing, adding to try to improve some elements of the security, as well as medical stuff, which is coming from the safety team, and Garth has graciously agreed to kind of head that up, okay? We had fellowships, we had grill outs, we had Easter and Christmas fellowships, we had the Bible conference, okay, in 2025, and we continued supporting Des Stridham and the mission work in Africa. All of those are things that we were able to do last year in 2025, okay? And I want to remind everybody of the fact that we have a unique church here at Grace Life Bible Church. One of the things we did in 2024, and this was a little bit of a breakthrough for us as far as our thinking about the church, is we took a map of West Michigan and we plotted on the map where everybody lives. And as you can see just by looking at the map, a lot of people that attend the church are coming from 20, 30, 40 minutes or more away to the church, okay? So our church is a unique church. We have a hybrid church. We are a unique hybrid of being an in-person church as well as an online church, okay? We also, in my opinion, are a regional church. People are coming here from all over West Michigan. We are not a neighborhood church. We're not the stereotypical neighborhood church where everybody that attends the church lives in the neighborhood that the church is located in. That's just not the way things have gone over the last 18 years as we've thought about the church and doing ministry, okay? So because of this, there are some unique challenges regarding fellowship and one anothering that we have as a church because we are so spread out, okay? This led us to also conclude that a lot of the fellowships need to be here at church on a Sunday after church when everybody is already what? Here. Now, we've had men's dinners. We've had men's breakfast. We've had men's breakfast for years. We added men's dinner a few years ago. The ladies now have a standing brunch on every second Saturday of the month. And there will also be some quarterly ladies' fellowships coming up later in the year. More on that probably next week, actually. The one who's responsible for that is the one that got me sick. So there's unique challenges regarding one anothering. So when we have opportunities, when the church is putting things on the calendar and providing opportunities, we strongly encourage everybody to take advantage of these opportunities for fellowship, be it breakfast, lunch, dinners, grill outs, fellowship, conference, other events, different things, because we're all coming in from so far, some of us. Now we've got folks, if you guys don't know, that are coming all the way down from Niles. They're driving up here about an hour and a half. Obviously, they're not here today because the weather's bad, but there's people that want to be here from far away because of what we teach and what we believe. That's the only reason they're coming, okay? And so we need to understand and recognize these things, okay? So I want to make a major announcement regarding 2026. The last two meetings that we had in September of 2024, and then a year ago, I put up this slide of the octopus guy with all the balls in the air. Remember that slide? And I was saying that I was feeling overwhelmed, et cetera, and I mentioned a few things. One of the things that I mentioned last year was my health. Remember that? Tomorrow, we'll commemorate 1 year of me starting to work with the nutritionist. I lost 75 pounds in 2025, okay? So I'm still trying to work on that some more. It's a lot slower now than it was, but that's definitely still a goal that I have. So I feel like that's a good thing, right? I feel like I definitely feel better and so forth for over where I was at, you know, before doing that. But as you know, still working two jobs, still a lot going on, and feeling like the ministry needed other support, okay? And so the big announcement that I would like to make right now is the following. Nate Kawinga has agreed to take a new role at Grace Life Bible Church as assistant pastor. So I will have an assistant pastor to help me with the work of the ministry here. Nate has agreed to take on this role. You will hear more about this later, not only from Will, but also from Nate. So we've divided the role up into some leadership responsibilities, continued oversight of the children's and youth ministries, which I have in bold, and then a new ministry initiative of his choice aimed at church growth, okay? But let me say, the reason I have the top one there in bold is because Nate is currently needing to focus on that. We do not want to let a ministry that we already are offering fall to the ground because of now we're going to go do something else. So what we are looking for is for somebody to possibly assist Nate in the role of a superintendent so that Nate then can go to that second item, which is to focus on a new ministry initiative. Does that make sense? So our first thing is we're going to keep the ministry going that we already have. Hopefully we can solidify that ministry, and then we can send Nate out to do something new and different with the goal of growing the church, okay? And then he also will have some assisting responsibilities. He will be the default choice for filling the pulpit if I need to be away. That doesn't mean other men won't still be given the opportunity because Nate probably won't be able to do it every time. We plan on trying to have Nate preach every fifth Sunday. He's going to share in the Sunday school pastor, the Sunday school teaching of the adult Sunday school with me on Sunday morning, similar to what we did last summer with the logic class, and he's going to help with visitation and people care as needed. So this is a major thing that is going to be extremely helpful to me and hopefully be very beneficial to the rest of the church, okay? So what have we done? I've gone through what we accomplished last year. I've made arguably the biggest announcement that we're going to make in this meeting. It feels kind of flat, frankly, with me not being able to talk about it real strongly, but this is a big deal, okay? And we're excited about this, and we definitely hope that this is going to move things along in the right direction. So with that being said, I want to call Will up, the treasurer, and Mark and Nate, can you guys possibly help Will pass out the financial reports? And then here's just a reminder of the current board structure and organization. I'm the teaching elder. Nate's assistant pastor and children's ministry overseer. Mark Gruters is the secretary, and Will is the treasurer. So without any further delay, we're going to have Will come up.
Well, good morning. Good morning again. Real close. There we go. How's that? Sounds different than when I do announcements. We good? That's the truth. Good? All right. Excellent. Well, again, good morning, everybody. As mentioned earlier, this is a new role for me as of March, so this will be the first time that I've gotten up and given a financial or fiscal year report for Grace Life Bible Church and then looked at the budget and so forth for the upcoming year. It's something that, you know, obviously has been done year over year and had two great predecessors that have done a really good job of setting me up for success and making sure that everything is there and templated the presentation I'm giving to you today to give you the state of the finances for Grace Life Bible Church. So, you know, a ministry isn't necessarily, you know, a ministry can go on, the Word of God can be preached, and you don't have to have a building and things like that and some place to meet, but obviously, you know, especially if you're going to establish some place that people can look to and come into and everything else, it does require a location, and generally you have an opportunity for people to come in and you know, maybe see it rather than meeting in a break room or something like that where it's strictly word of mouth. And it just presents a lot of ministry opportunities. So although we recognize that, you know, you can have a ministry without a building and everything else, we certainly do appreciate the fact that we can come here and learn in a building, that we've had consistent support from saints both here in the assembly and remote that have made it possible for us to keep the lights on and all the other activities that happen here and maintain it and so forth. So we're very grateful for that. You know, as Brian had mentioned, we have a unique assembly. We're regional. We have people that are all over the place as well as around the world. And that makes some unique challenges for, you know, consistent giving or, you know, individuals' opportunities to do that. We have, in spite of that, really seen very consistent giving over the last year and previous years. We have a multiplicity of means for individuals to do that. We've established PayPal and Venmo, even direct transfers for individuals that bank at LMCU, which is where the church currently holds its accounts. And we do see continued support from remote saints from around the globe, actually, that really don't have to. They're under obviously no obligation to, but we've seen a lot of support for this ministry from those as well. So we're very grateful for that and certainly want to recognize the consistent giving from all the saints here at Grace Life and those that may not be regular members but still want to contribute to this ministry. So I think I've talked enough to let those guys get those passed out. So, and I apologize, I am not bad at spreadsheets and stuff like that, but I am not very great at copy machines. So there's like three different versions of the copies out there, and some of them don't have the highlights in color. I think I messed up one of our copy machines. Sorry about that, which is why I was running around and so forth here. That's right. So one final thing before we get into it, and I want to mention this, that if you have any questions or anything that you'd like some clarity on or suggestions or anything like that, you know, you might put me on the spot. That'd be fine if you want to ask them during this, when we get done with this or as we go through this, but certainly feel free to reach out to me or any other member of the board after the fact to talk about or ask any questions or give any suggestions that you might have. So first off, I'd just like to take a moment and look back at some noteworthy items from 2025 as it relates to financial things from the church here at Grace Life Bible Church. First off, we've done a number, and I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty details. I just, having sat in the conversations, I know these are things that have added to our finances a little bit and or our expenses. And we've augmented our live stream and other technology capabilities. So there's been some cost associated with some of the different software and streaming programs that we have, but it's really augmented our online teaching. As Brian mentioned earlier, started a blog. It avails us some opportunity to provide some material for that as well and also improve the streaming and capabilities and reliability as well. So, and as noted earlier, we have a lot of individuals around the globe that learn and are, you know, valuing this ministry here at Grace Life Bible Church, and that gives us the ability to provide some good quality material for them to take part in remotely. Another project that we had for the year was out here in the front. We've got some steel roof on the front of the building. We secured a building contractor to come out and add snow cleats to the steel roof. As you know, those can be very slippery sometimes. And if you ever looked at them, you can see those little cleats that kind of help hold ice and snow back so that it has an opportunity to melt before it slides off, potentially injuring somebody. That was something that was identified and done this past year. We replaced the AC units for the classroom wing back here. We've had a number of other maintenance items that have been done, but that was one of the bigger ticket items that was done this past year. And we continued the ministerial gifts that the church board had set forth to do over the year. And just a real quick high-level overview of what that is. So there are some certain, everybody contributes to this ministry in certain ways, but there's certain things that just have to happen on a Sunday morning in order for the service to carry on as we've seen so far this morning and any given Sunday morning. And so the church identified some of those critical roles and have done quarterly ministerial gifts, basically like a gift card for those individuals that fulfill those roles. And we've done that on a quarterly basis. We set out with a goal to do that, and we've been able to consistently do that. And as you'll see a little bit later, we plan to continue to do that in the future with no changes to the amounts or anything like that. But nonetheless, we plan to continue that. And then just looking back, some of you are aware, some of you might not be aware. A number of years ago, the church started a Fidelity brokerage account to start to invest conservatively some of the church's funds to just provide some long-term stability and capability for the church looking ahead, kind of some long-range planning. And we've continued to fund that over the previous year as well. And you'll see, we'll talk a little bit more about that. So all of that being said, we'll flip into the next page here and review our balance sheet as of December 31st for all of Grace Life Bible Church's assets. So I just, and like I mentioned, some of you might not have those that have very good highlights on them, but I did put little call-outs on there. So only a couple items I really want to draw your attention to specifically, and that is our LMCU checking account balance as of December 31st, 2025. We had a balance of $43,401, just over that, in our checking account. And that's the account we use to pay the revolving credit card that we use for a lot of automated payments and so forth, and pay for all the various expenses of the church and any things that we have going on, like you know, these maintenance projects that were spoken of. We have a couple of other accounts that sit relatively stable. We haven't seen a lot of activity in those. Our printing fund, our youth group fund, which is funds that the teen youth group has raised during fundraisers, and those go towards various activities that they do. And then an emergency fund, which is just our savings account at LMCU that we shift some funds over to sit there for anything in reserve that we might need going forward, much like you would set up a household budget typically. But our total liquid assets there is $48,646, just a little above that. The next item I want to note is our Fidelity brokerage account. We have seen some consistent growth there. We've added to it a little bit over this past year. Our balance as of December 31st was a little over $139,250. So good to see that, and we've been able to maintain that and not draw from it, keep it there as a growing security blanket, so to speak. So, and the only other thing I wanted to note really on there, you know, we've got our other hard assets there, but the note down there under liabilities about our revolving credit card liability, that is an automatic payment that comes out on a certain date of the month to pay any credit cards, account payable bills that have been paid the previous month, and that's where that balance was as of the 31st of December, with a pending payment sometime here in the last couple days, actually. So with that, we can move on to our income and expense report. Again, I'm just going to highlight some of the bigger things there. If you have any questions about specifics, certainly reach out to me, and I can offer some info on that. So first off, I just want to note, we've got our local and remote saints. I can tell you, I didn't realize how difficult it was to do this. Sometimes it's very difficult to discern specifically between what are contributions from local and contributions from remote saints. So that is more of a guide than anything else. But we've seen consistently from what we would categorize as local saints, nearly $130,000 this past year. And from remote saints, a little under $22,500. So We do, like I mentioned, continue to see consistent and growing support for this ministry financially, and that's great to see that. And our total income there from all sources, there's a couple of other categories above there noted, for the year was $156,530.27. So again, we've seen growth financially year over year in terms of giving, and that's a fantastic thing because, as you all know, expenses continue to grow year over year. So it's good to see that. Moving into expenses, just want to note down there, the first highlighted item, our cost for the 2025 conference was just over $3,200. That was for the Bible conference that Grace Life Bible Church hosts here in October. That was really consistent with past years. We usually are right around that same ballpark. And matter of fact, not having been the treasurer when I asked, that was about where Brian ballparked it as well. So continue to see about the same there. And that covers, as you can see, the items above for the speakers and meals and so forth and the fellowship dinners and whatnot there. The next highlighted item is the building and grounds maintenance. So that number there, the $12,718, included some of those bigger projects I mentioned from this previous year. But it included some mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and building projects, including the snow cleats and the replacement of the AC units in the classroom wings. So it's good to have the funds available to do those and maintain those things as they come up, and we've been able to do that. Next item, our total insurance, which, as for all of you, I'm sure, has increased, but that total was $7,603 for the year for all insurance expenses. If you want to flip the page, we can continue on. The next item, as mentioned earlier, we've got our online ministry expense, so our live streaming, which gives us the ability to live stream the Sunday school, the services here, was a total of $3,646. Brian had mentioned our mission support. A couple of years ago, Grace Life was approached by a member of the assembly and asked about supporting different missions. Knowing Des Stridham and this ministry, the board decided to contribute to that ministry to as a with $100 a month that we have sent regularly. I'm getting hand signals from back there. Are you good? We good? Okay. I don't know if it was volume or what. Maybe I need to hold the microphone away. Anyway, so we continue to support that. Another item is we've allocated or earmarked funds for a one anothering fund. And what that is funds earmarked for assisting and helping out any individuals that might need financial assistance from the assembly. And you can see the total there, just over $3,000 we allocated for different things there. And then the other item I wanted to note was a parsonage allowance. That would be what would be considered Pastor Brian's salary. Last year was $43,500. And then lastly, just want to note the total for expenses from all sources for the year was $121,316.88. So with that, I guess if anybody has any questions, I can pause, but that might make me feel a little uncomfortable. I think we're good. All right, excellent. So looking forward to 2026, some proposed projects in addition, some we've already talked about briefly, others I'll elaborate on a little bit more. So once again, we just want to continue to be aware of the one anothering fund availability. For a little while, that sat stagnant and did not get used, so it's wonderful to see that be able to get used and for saints to avail themselves of that and for the church to be able to do that. So just be aware of that. If there's ever, it's completely confidential. If there's ever a need, you can approach myself or Pastor Brian. I would be happy to review that and so forth. One of the items in the outcomes of the safety team was kind of a review of where the church stood altogether in terms of needs from a safety perspective. And the next two bullet items are kind of about that. The first one is the church intends to, for this year here shortly, purchase and install an AED. That's the automated defibrillators that they have that you put the patches on, and it can help get somebody's heart back beating again properly. They're totally automatic and are generally part of most facilities as you go around, and certainly a fantastic emergency tool. And we did discuss the addition of a few other emergency first aid items as well that don't amount to a lot of expense, but would be available nearby that as well. So more to come on that as the safety team continues their review and as we purchase some of these items. The other thing is, and this was brought up from, I don't remember exactly whom, but the fact, so we do have cameras around the building that are reviewed for security purposes, But one place where we did have a blank spot was out there overlooking the children's playground. And, you know, we do live in an unsafe world, and there's a lot of potential possibilities, and we certainly want to be diligent in protecting ourselves the best we can from that as we are able to. So we reviewed a proposal from Parkway Electric, who has installed all the rest of our cameras, and we plan to move forward with installing a camera over on the east side of the building that will cover that playground area and provide a little more coverage from our security standpoint. As Pastor Brian had mentioned earlier, we are adding the addition of a salaried assistant pastor. So I'll talk more about that in a minute as we look at the budget for 2026 or the proposed budget. And then, as mentioned, we have the Fidelity brokerage account. And in the past, we have basically, as we've had a surplus of funds, so to speak, we've allocated some of that and moved it over to the investment account. But looking ahead, much like you would in any household budget, we're looking to be more deliberate and actually put into the budget the opportunity to invest in that account. Not to a large extent, just based on historically what we've had available, but do it deliberately as opposed to second to when it's available, so to speak. And then, of course, we're always open to ideas. If there are any ideas or anything for projects in the coming year, certainly take those to the board. We have open portions every board meeting, typically, unless announced otherwise. And we certainly want to avail you the opportunity to make suggestions. Those two bullet items that we talked about earlier were both suggestions that people had brought. So it certainly are looked at and valued and do have an impact on what the church does going forward. So with that, we can move into the proposed budget review for 2026. As mentioned, you know, it's been pretty consistent over the years. We've seen a pretty consistent growth, but our budget generally remains pretty close to the same. I've broken it down with the yearly expenses, monthly expenses, and weekly expenses just divided out like you would for, you know, any other budget. A couple things I want to note, just highlight. We've got the parsonage allowance increase there. I should mention this. So in looking at that, it was weighed in with the fact that we're bringing on an assistant pastor this year. And, Brian graciously has conceded to, you know, maybe passing on a little bit what he might have seen as an increase to be able to make this assistant pastorship possible this year. So that was taken into consideration. And just bring your eye down to that line in the gray there that says the total 2026 projected operating expenses. So that is everything that we have based on the 2025 budget with an increase for the pastoral allowance. So that's the annual for all of those. And then below that, in the box below that, additional forward-looking items, those are the things that we're looking to add into that budget for the coming year. And that would be the AED cost broken down to weekly, the East camera, the assistant pastor, which I want to mention, the board agreed to look at that as a $12,000 a year salary, and that'll be done on the first of the month with $1,000. And that will be addition to the budget. And then the 2026 investment goal of adding an additional $10,000 to the brokerage account. We've historically been able to do that, and it's just really just putting it deliberately into the budget. So if you look at the bottom line there, we have our total 2026 proposed income goal, and that would be what you would see Sylvia put into the bulletins on the weekly and then show where we are at progress against that. But based on last year's numbers, accounting for slight increases that we incur typically every year, and then adding those additional items, that's what we're looking at for our annual goal, monthly goal, and weekly goal. So with that, I believe, did I let it go to sleep? I wasn't going to be able to do that.
So thank you for your time anyway, and let me know if you have any questions.
Okay. Thanks, Will. Appreciate that orderly report. So not talking for a while has helped. I want to invite Nate up, and Nate is going to talk about some ministry goals and updates for 2026. So, Nate, make sure you hold this close to your mouth.
I want to make sure I lick it as well so I can get off work this week. All right, can you hear me? Kind of? All right. Okay, so just want to start by saying, you know, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to come on with the board and the board's trust and that they've placed in me, and thank you to Brian. And Hopefully I can work alongside these guys and relieve Brian a little bit from some of the stresses of ministry that he has to deal with, and hopefully that'll also benefit the church at the same time, giving a little bit of that help one for another and a little bit different. I proposed to the board a while ago a question, which was basically, you know, we have Grace Life Bible Church, we all appreciate it, we all love it, but what happens if Brian goes down? You know, what happens if he gets in a car accident, bad weather on the way home or something like that, and now he's laid up in the hospital for 6 weeks recovering from a broken back or something? Like, what do we do? Do we just close down? Do we got to go film him in the hospital bed? Like, what do we do if that? I don't know if he'll love that, especially if he's on some crazy drugs or something like that. Might make for some good internet stuff, but probably not great edifying for the church. So that's one thing that we've had to look at. And one of the goals of the church is, how do we share this ministry? Yes, guys like Ernie, guys like Will, guys like Bud will step up and fill in from time to time and continue to do so. But we also should have somebody that's kind of that point person that's kind of like, yeah, we have somebody. We know we have somebody. And then also we have other guys who will step up if they're not available to. And we want the church to move forward and continue to grow that process and then identify people. So we do have goals coming up for this next year. Just this one? Maybe. There we go. Number one, so the superintendent ministries and children's ministries. Now, yeah, this doesn't sound great that they're like, hey, we're going to bring Nate on as the assistant pastor. We're going to pay him a salary. Also, we're going to take away his responsibilities as soon as possible. That doesn't sound great. So what I think Brian did a good job of explaining it. When Brian first approached me about this opportunity, the idea was to try to take as much off Brian's plate as I could and help with him, especially in areas of teaching and preaching, and as well as outreach and care for the saints. This children's ministry wasn't really on the radar, but because of things that kind of happened with Charity stepping down and Daryl stepping down, there was a lot of shifting that had to happen along the board of elders. And so, you know, I stepped in because I want to be a team player and said, okay, I'll take this responsibility. We'll see what we can do with it. So my goal with the children's ministry was to go through the policies and procedures, to get that updated, to try to get things streamlined, to get sort of a schedule down, to get a curriculum down, kind of make things easy enough that at some point we can find somebody who's passionate about this stuff and hand over at least a somewhat working product so that they don't have to start from scratch and build everything back up. We can hand something over to them. And that's my goal, is to try to get things settled and calm that we can then hand off a bulk of the administrative work to somebody who's very passionate about that and good at that. And then I would still remain kind of oversight. I would love to, like, for example, Miriam. I'll just brag on Miriam for a minute. Miriam is doing a wonderful job in the nursery. I never have to touch the nursery. She schedules it. She has everything set up. I never have to worry about nursery being a problem. Now, just recently with Miriam being out because of having a child and stuff like that, I've had to do stuff with nursery. That's where I would still come in. When there's a problem that comes up, I would step back in and help with that problem until it's alleviated, and then I would step back out. But I want more people like Miriam. I want more Miriams that just do the work. They're happy to do the work. I can be pretty much hands-off unless there's a problem. Then I step back in. And what that'll do is then free us up for the board to start discussing, because a lot of people in the church have come to us with ideas. We would like to have a Wednesday night ministry. We would like to have a Sunday night ministry. We would like to have Sunday school classes for various age groups. Great ideas, all good things. But to be able to do that, we need time, we need volunteers, we need a lot of stuff, and we need to plan it and make sure we launch it with, you know, everything in place. So that is why we're looking to free up, not me completely from children's ministry, but at least from a lot of the administrative work that I have to do on a constant repeating basis, and then I can delegate that off, and then I can focus on doing other things. One ministry we already added was the men's Bible study on Friday nights that I lead every week. So that is one ministry we did add this past year, and it has been in the bulletin, is that for the men and boys ages 11th grade on up, they can come out on Friday night. We usually run for about 2 hours and do a Bible study. The next goal we have is participation in the opportunities for fellowship. So We've mentioned that we have these men's breakfasts, we have the men's dinner. Now the board has recently added a women's brunch. That is a just scheduled every month thing. Nobody really is in charge of it. It just kind of happens just like the men's stuff. And that's an opportunity for ladies that want to go just fellowship, have some good food, have some coffee, whatever, have brunch and do that. Now, what we would say is we would encourage you, ladies and guys, go beyond this. Use that as that base. This is what grounds us. We always know this is happening. This is always a thing going on. But then go beyond that. We know we have several ladies who want to do other things. That's fine. Let's schedule some other things. But, you know, this is something that we have. Let's participate in it. Because if we want the church to be successful, the church has to be a family. You know, we have to care about each other. We have to know about each other's lives. For the one anothering fund that Will mentioned, it's a lot easier for us to know that people have issues if we know people have issues. And how we know that is we're involved in each other's lives. And so these fellowships give us an opportunity to get outside of church, to meet in a more intimate relationship or more intimate setting, and just do life together a little bit, which helps us on the other end with things like the One Anothering Fund to be able to help those who need it. We would like to continue our current ministries. So again, that always involves, we need people to get in, get trained, get volunteers. If you plan on helping out with something, I know that I've been talking to a few people about having another leaders training, again, coming up this spring. That's going to end up being an annual thing where we train leaders or people who are interested in coming in to any of the various ministries, especially children's ministries, go through policies, procedures, how we run things, and then that way we can, you know, not throw people off the deep end into kids and be like, oh, figure it out. We'll see you later. We'll talk afterwards. So, one thing that Will, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but the support and mission work for Africa, we're actually looking at increasing that amount this year. So that's a good thing. Give you guys a pat on the back. We're going to start trying to increase how much we're giving to missions. This is important for us. And I would say when it comes to missions, it's not just about overseas or anything like that. This is where the one anothering comes in as well, because I see giving as kind of a concentric rings. If you're a husband and a father, you first have to provide for your own. That's your first ring. Got to make sure things are good at home. But then if you have enough to give extra, you move out to your friends and family, then to your local church, then to your local community, and then to the rest of the world. So if you have the means for that, you know, and you can help people, go help them. If you don't know who to help, earmark it for the One Anothering Fund. We'll see that it gets there, or earmark it to missions, and we can get it to Des and get it there as well. So just want to say congratulations that we've been able to bring in the sort of funds that we can start increasing our missions giving, which is really what we want to see that continue. And then one thing that Brian did add, he did this the other week in Sunday school where he had a Q&A lesson. And people wrote in some questions, and he was able to kind of take the Sunday school class to go over questions people had from the audience or people had from the church. That went pretty well. It was pretty well received. And so his idea is to start doing that quarterly with the fifth Sunday of the month in Sunday school class to just do a Q&A. So to the church and to those watching online, if you have questions, please start submitting those in writing either to Brian or the email to the church. Something like that so that we can start cataloging those questions, and then every fifth Sunday those will come up in Sunday school class, and just kind of pay attention and watch so that your answer gets put out there. Then we have a couple more ones. The ideas, we would look for ideas for and help for extending the one anothering. So because we want to start helping more people, getting involved in their life, we also would like some ideas of how we can do that better, as well as how can we extend that. And so we're going to need information coming in, too. If you guys know of people who need help, the board needs to be made aware of that. Like I said, most board meetings have an open portion where you can come in and sit with the board, give us your ideas, give us your requests, what's going on. And then we'll have a closed portion after that where we discuss that stuff. So if you know there's a need somewhere, please make that known to the board as long as you're, you know, have permission to share that information. you know, don't want anything coming up that we're not supposed to know about. But and if you are struggling with something, please let us know. We do have this fund. We do want to use it, especially for our local saints, to help each other out. That's why it's there. So please speak up with that. And then last of all, we want to keep the main thing in 2026. Again, with church growth, that sounds great. It's not about numbers. It's not about dollars. What we're really looking at is how impactful can we be in the community, in the world with the gospel. That's the main thing. Can we put out the doctrine? Can we put out the gospel and affect as many people for Christ as possible? That's the goal. So even when we talk about church growth plans and adding ministries and any of that stuff, it has to come back to we want to do it because we want to glorify God. And we want the gospel to go out as effectively as possible. So I think that's it for that section. You good to go still?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate both Will and Nate participating. I know public speaking is not everyone's forte. So I want to end with just a couple reminders about a few things, just so everybody knows. First is monthly board meetings. So if you're not aware, every second Saturday there's a board meeting here at the church, unless something comes up and we either have to reschedule or move it, but that would be published in the bulletin and announced if that was in fact the case, okay? Every board meeting, there is always an open portion. It typically lasts an hour between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., and that's where every month Will presents a financial report, Mark presents the minutes. This is where we hear new proposals or old business or that sort of thing in the first hour of the board meeting, the open portion. Then there's a closed portion from 10 to 11, usually sometimes goes longer than 11. If you have something that you want to the board to consider, we need you to submit your ideas and proposals in writing or in person at a meeting, okay? So if there's something that's, if there's a ministry idea that you want, if there's something you want to do with the teens, if whatever it is, please submit your idea to the board either in writing or come, or you're, everyone's invited to the meeting to come in person and submit it directly in person, okay? Now, I have to say this. This is getting worse as I'm getting older. I have too many things on my mind Sunday morning to remember everything everybody says to me. So if you come to me and you say, Pastor, I think we should do X, Y, Z, and you don't, I'm not trying to be rude, uncharitable, or unkind. I'm going to forget. By the time I leave here, get home, eat lunch, take a nap, I'm going to forget what you told me, okay? So if there's something that you really want me to consider, my email's in the bulletin, send me an email to remind me, and then then I'm on it, okay? So just remember that. Please do that. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to be able to provide good feedback because I'm probably going to forget. So and the only other thing is that we ask you to, if you present a new initiative, a new idea, a new event, a new ministry, whatever, that you be prepared to help make that thing happen, okay? One time we had somebody come and they thought the church should have a garden. And I'm like, who's going to run the garden? Not me. I'm not running the garden. So, like, if you're gonna suggest something, we're open to hearing anything. Just be prepared to help with making that idea, whatever it might be, happen, okay? Another thing that I myself am extremely excited about, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to nerd out about this a lot, is we are having a conference in October on the 500th anniversary of the William Tyndale New Testament. This is a major event in the history of the English language. This is a major event in the history of the Reformation, and we owe a massive debt of gratitude to William Tyndale for the Bible that we have. And so we are going to take a weekend and set aside, and we're going to be looking at William the Translator celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Tyndale New Testament. So that's going to be October 16 through 18 here at the church. So there'll be more coming out about that as it gets closer. I also want to add that this year, Nate and Kristen have graciously agreed to offer some childcare and stuff for the kids that weekend of the conference, which is not something that we've been able to do in the past just because of not enough people to go around. And so there will be something along those lines. Last thing I just want to say is anything that you can do to help promote the ministry, and social media, on the website, live streaming, YouTube, Rumble, anything that you can do to help share the messages, the ministries of the church. Talk to your friends and family about the gospel, the grace of God. Invite them to church. Use the different, the blog articles, the recordings, the audios, the sermon notes. We have one thing we forgot to mention, Will, is that we've had to migrate the website to a new webmaster. The guy that we were using for a long time has retired. And when we did that, they're like, yeah, we're going to have to charge you because your website's so big. We got tons of stuff on the church website. Years, a catalog of years and years and years of teaching and material and notes and all sorts of stuff. Check that stuff out. Use that stuff. Help. Use it to invite people. Avail yourself of all of those things. And as has already been noted by not only myself, but also Will and Nate, and that is embrace the need for fellowship and the support of like-minded saints. And to close this portion, I just want to say, you know, thank you to everybody, and we appreciate everything that everybody does to have gotten the church to this point. Entering year 19, if we continue for another few years, we're going to be having a 20th anniversary of the church. There's a lot of things to be, you know, excited about, to be thankful for. I appreciate everybody that helps in any way, shape, manner, or form. And we just pray that we can have a good year as we move forward into 2026. So if you have any questions about the financial report, if you have any questions about anything that was talked about here on the slide, I will be saving this slideshow as a PDF, and we will be putting that on the church's website also. Feel free to ask and make sure that you understand, you know, what is going on with all of these different things. So without any further delay, I'm going to close the meeting with a word of prayer. We're going to invite the musicians back up to close off the day. Next Sunday, we'll be back to our Hebrew study as we start looking at Hebrews chapter 13. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had just now to go over the affairs of the church, to look at what was in 2025, and talk about what is on the horizon, to present some goals, to talk about a new position for Nate, to talk about how we want to see the ministry move forward in the new year. We're grateful for all of those who support this assembly, both here in person and also those remotely. We're grateful for the financial gifts. We're grateful for the financial support that allows us to continue to do this. But we're also grateful for all the little things that people do in 100 different ways that maybe are easy to take for granted or that are easily overlooked, and that people just do as they see fit and as are led to do them. We're grateful for all those who support in any way with music, with live streaming, with coming early, with staying late, with cleaning up, with setting up, with working with the kids, cleaning the church, all the different things that go on as part of the ministry. We're grateful for all of that. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to share the gospel, the grace of God, to be ambassadors for Christ. We pray the saints will be edified and encouraged, and that we can move forward into the new year with a new renewed vision.